I think we'll start, and if other people want to join us, hopefully they will during the course of the share. Want to commence just by saying that the zechut of this share in the Talmud Torah that we should be learning should be for a refuah shleima for Rabbi Sachs and for Diane Ehrentroy, for Reb Yaakov Tzvi Ben Liba, Reb Chanuch HaKohen Ben Blimela, two stalwarts of Anglo-Jewry and London Torah study, and both of them who need our tefillot, need rachamei shamayim, and we hope and pray and daven that they should both be granted a refuah shalema and that they can carry on being marbits Torah in the future as well. The theme that I want to discuss this evening as we start the new session of Shiurim, and as we did previously, to have a Shiur on a Chaim topic, a Yoredeir topic, an Evan HaEzer topic, and a Choshen Mishpat topic. So I want to discuss in the Orach Chaim topic, the question of mezonot bread. We're all familiar with the phenomena of mezonot bread. Very often you're at a simcha or somewhere, you'll say, "Ah, is it mezonot?" And nevertheless, some people, you see some people going to wash and saying a hamotzi on it and a full benching. If it's mezonot bread, why are some people washing on it? Is it optional whether it's mezonot bread? Does mezonot bread mean that you've got a choice of what bracha you want to say on it? That's really what I want to tease out this evening. Again, one of the anomalies or strange things to do with what we're calling the contemporary halachic issues series, that it's not particularly a new issue. We'll see from the Aruch HaShulchan that it's been going on for a long time, but perhaps it's in some ways more widespread than it was previously, and you know, we often have the phenomena of mezonot bread, mezonot rolls, mezonot pita, which they perhaps didn't have as much of in yesteryear. Perhaps in yesteryear they just had bread, and occasionally there was a phenomena of mezonot bread. Now it's much more widespread, but I wouldn't call it particularly a contemporary halachic issue, but it does impact on our contemporary lives, so want to try and address that this evening. So I want to start off with a Gemara in the sixth perek of Masechet Brachot. It's a sugya in Perek Ketzad Mavarachin on Daf Membet Amud Bet. And the Gemara says as follows. Rav Yehuda hava asik leiliv rebe Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva. So Rav Yehuda was involved with his son in the house of Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva. Aitu lekamaihu pataba bekisnin. And they brought them what's known as Pat Haba B'Kisnin. Pat Haba B'Kisnin is going to be the first challenge that we have understanding this evening. What exactly is this term, Pat Haba B'Kisnin? But it's obviously some sort of cakey, breadish food. And one of our questions is going to be defining what that is. So they brought this pat in Aramaic is bread. So pata barbekisnin, it's a particular type of bread. Kiata, when he came, sham inhu dekam avarachi hamotzi. Rav Yehuda heard that everybody was saying hamotzi over it. He was a little bit surprised by that. Amar lehu, and he said to them, my tzitzi dekashamana. What's this tzitzi? He was sort of making fun of the word hamotzi, tzitzi. So what's all this? You know, this is mezonot bread. Why are you all saying a hamotzi? Dilma hamotzi lechem in haaretz kamavarchitu. I hear all these tzaddiks. Tzaddik, hamotzi. Are you saying hamotzi? Amrilei, they said to him, in. Yes, we are saying hamotzi over this. The Tanya, because we've got a brighter, we've got a Tanaitic statement. Rabbi Muna amamishum Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Muna said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, Pata Baba Kisnin, Mavarachin Aleha Motzi, that if you've got this Pata Baba Kisnin, this special type of bread, even though it's clearly not regular bread, if it was regular bread, it would just be called Pat, but even though it's not regular bread, nevertheless, you say Hamotzi over it. Va'amar Shmuel, and Shmuel has told us, the Amorah Shmuel has told us, Halacha k'Rabbi Muna. The Halacha follows Rabbi Muna, who says that the correct bracha for Patar Bar B'Kisnin is Hamotzi. So you're right, you did overhear us saying Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Amar lehu, so he said to them, Ein halacha k'rabi muna itmar. Now, in actual fact, you might be quoting Shmuel to me, but it was actually said that the halacha does not follow Rabbi Muna. The halacha is not like Rabbi Muna, and we don't say hamotzi over this patar bar b'kisnin. Amri lehu, so they said to him, excuse us, but for hamar hu da amar mishmedi Shmuel, didn't you yourself tell us in the name of Shmuel, Lachmaniot ma'arvin bahen umavarchin alehen hamotzi. Lachmaniot. Now we all know what a lachmania is. And if written, lachmania is a roll. Lechem is a bread, and a lachmania is a small bread, i.e., a roll. So over rolls, you told us that, remember, rolls aren't regular bread, that you can use them as an eruv for which you need bread. And you say the bracha of hamotzi over them. So you told us that something akin to patar bar b'kisnin has a bracha of hamotzi. Why are you now telling us that the halacha is not like Rabbi Muna? So he answered, sha'ani hatam. Ah, now that's different. Why would you say hamotzi over it? Dekava sudate alaihu. Because in that case you ate it with your meal. That was the mainstay of your meal. Aval heichad lo kava sudate alaihu. But if you didn't eat it as the mainstay of your meal, lo, then it doesn't have a bracha of hamotzi. So what's the Gemara here telling us? The Gemara here is telling us, the conclusion of the Gemara is, we've got this notion of patar bar b'kisnin, bread which is not regular bread, a special type of bread, that if you eat it, that its bracha is borei min emes or not. The bracha for patar bar b'kisnin is borei min emes or not. But if you eat it in place of bread at a meal, so then its bracha becomes hamotzi. If you just eat it as a snack somewhere, so then its bracha is borei min emes or not. But if you use it as regular bread, then you say hamotzi over it. So what we need to understand really in the first instance is, what do we mean by patar bar b'kisnin? What exactly are we talking about? But already we've got an inkling into what this whole sugya is telling us. Because we're saying, hold on a minute, if you're koveya suda alayhu, if you use it as the mainstay of a meal, so then you're going to say hamotzi over it. So now we're already understanding, why do some people wash over mazonot bread? So it might be that, yeah, they hold that it's bracha is mazonot, but they're using it for what we call kviat su'uda. They're using it as the mainstay of a meal. And we've got two questions that we need to address. Question number one is, what's the definition of this patar bar b'kisnin? And number two, what is the definition of kava sudate alaihu? What's that you're using it as the mainstay of a meal? I understand that if I've got mazonot bread, according to this Gemara at least, and let's assume that the mazonot bread falls into the category of patar bar b'kisnin, and I eat 10 slices of it with 4 slices with smoked salmon, 3 slices with mashed egg, 1 slice with tuna, 1 slice with avocado, and the other slice with whatever, and I've now had a whole meal of mazonot bread sandwiches, that would be a bracha of hamotzi. But what if I'm just eating one or two of these sandwiches? So let's start with trying to understand what exactly is this patar bar b'kisnin. So if we look in the Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim Sim Kuf Samachet Se'if Zayin, the Shulchan Aruch actually gives us 3 different understandings of what patar bar b'kisnin is. So let's look at the Shulchan Aruch. Patar bar b'kisnin. The Shulchan Aruch says, what is this patar bar b'kisnin? Yesh mafarshim. So there are those who say, pat she'asui k'min kisim. It's bread that is made like pockets. We'll talk about what that might resemble in a moment. Shema malim otam. Remember, kisnin sounds a bit like kissim, and a kiss is a pocket. So that would fit in. Pataba b'kisnin, pat, bread which is baked like pockets. Shema malim otah, devash, or sukar ve'egozim u'shketim ve'tavlin, and you fill it with honey or sugar, honey or shemen or oil or chalav or milk or mine tavlet, so sorry, or zvash or sukkah, sugar, ve'egozim, or nuts, or shkedim, almonds, for tavlin, and spices. So, something that the Achronim point out, it actually doesn't have to be davka these things. It could be filled with meat or with fish or something like that. So what would be a good example of this? A good example of this would be a Cornish pasty. Cornish pasty would be pata barbekisnin. It's a dough pocket, as it were, which is filled with meat. Or another example would be calzone. Calzone, which is basically a pizza which is folded over. But calzone, you've got the dough, the bread base. You fill it with tomato sauce and cheese and mushrooms and sweet corn and whatever it is. Fold it over. It's like a big pocket. And there you are. You've got this pata barbekisnin. So that's option number one. And that's the view of Rashi. Option number two is v'yesh omrim. There are those who say shei isa she'irev bar dvash or shemin or chalav or minei tavlin va'afa'a. It's a dough which has been mixed with devash, honey, or shemen, or oil, or chalav, or milk, or spices, and you've baked it. What would that be a description of? In the chat? Anybody wants to, what's that a description of? In the chat, any comments there? Nothing's coming up yet. Well, I would say it's a description of cake. Cake, it's a dough with devash, honey, and oil, and milk, and spices, and the like. However, v'hushi yetam tarovet hamei peirot or tavlin nikar baisa. The Shulchan Aruch says that it can't just be that you've baked a bread and you've put in a bit of oil or a bit of milk, and now you're going to call it pata barbekisnin, not regular bread. You're going to call it this pata barbekisnin. You really need to be able to taste the milk or the oil or whatever it is, the chocolate, the cocoa powder that you've added in. And the Rama actually says, the Yeshua Rinsha Zenikra Pat Gamur. Now, that's just regular bread. Okay, it's a bit sweeter. You know, it's like a challah. A challah has a bit of oil in, a bit of eggs in. You know, but essentially, it's bread. Ela im kein, unless yesh bahem harbe tavlin or devash kamine matika shekorin lekach, unless it's got lots of spices or honey, like mine matika that you call lekach. Lekach is like a cake. Shekimat hadvash var tavlin heima ikar, where there it's really the honey and the spices and all the other things are, you know, a very, very central part of what you're eating. The chenogim, and that's that's the minhag. So this is the opinion of the Rambam. What's pata barbekisnin? It's pat. It's a regular bread dough, but it's got lots of additives in it to make it much sweeter. So it's not a regular bread, but it's a very sweet bread. If it was a regular bread, you'd say hamotzi over it. If it's this very sweet bread, so then you would say a mazonot over it, unless you use it to be kovei asuda, unless you use it as the mainstay of your meal. If you use it as the mainstay of your meal, so then it becomes hamotzi. That's the view of the Rambam. And then we've got a third opinion, v'yesh mefarshim shehu pat. There are those who say that it's a bread. Bein metubelet, bein she'ina metubelet, whether it's got some spices in or hasn't got spices in. She'osim otam ka'avim yaveshim. And you make it like very dry sticks or pieces. V'kosasim otam, and you chew on them. V'heim hanikra'im bishkunush, which might be related to the word biscuits. Not sure. So what's this similar to? Well, it's similar to biscuits. But again, if anybody wants to comment in the chat, how do you understand this very dry, brittle type of putt? I would say it corresponds to either breadsticks or pretzels or matzo crackers. Any of these things would fit into that definition. And this is the opinion of Rav Haigaon. So Rav Haigaon is of the opinion that, yeah, what's pata barbecue? Isn't it something like pretzels or breadsticks? Pretzels, remember, that's what's pretzels made out of? Basically dough. It's a dough and it's baked, and it's baked very hard. So pretzels are borei minemes or not. But if you use them for kviat suda, if you use them as the mainstay of your meal, so then they would become hamotzi. So we've got three opinions here. The opinion of Rashi, the opinion of Rambam, the opinion of Rav Haigaon, as to what is pata barbekisnin. That's the first thing comes up. Now, what we need to bear in mind, that according to each of these opinions, what's the status of the other two opinions? So Rashi says, right, that what's pata barbekisnin? We said it was the Cornish pasty, or the calzone. So what does Rashi hold about a cake, a cakey bread? Or what does Rashi hold about pretzels? So Rashi would hold to both of those a proper hamotzi. Okay, fine, it's cakey. It's a bread with, you know, lots of raisins and all sorts of things. But it's a cakey bread. It would definitely be a hamotzi. According to the Rambam, where the definition of pata barbekisnin is a cakey bread, then the calzone and the pretzels would definitely be hamotzi. And according to Rav Haigaon, that the definition of pata barbekisnin is the pretzels, then Rashi's calzone and the Rambam's cakey bread would definitely be hamotzi. I'll come to your question in a moment, Tal. So how are we going to paskin? So the Shulchan Aruch says, for halacha kedivrei kulam, the Shulchan Aruch says, you know what, we're going to be lenient. We're going to be meikel, and we're going to say the halacha is like, we'll follow all three opinions. We'll treat all of these like pata barbekisnin. Now, this is the first surprise in the shir tonight. I think it's the first surprise. You might have been surprised by some things I've already said. But the first surprise is most people think is that, you know, when we talk about mezonot bread, oh, you know, it's people are, you know, holding, you know, treat mezonot bread as being hamotzi. You know, they're being, you know, mezonot bread is a chumrah. It's being strict. In actual fact, this whole sugya is a kula, is a leniency. Because what we've got here is we've got three opinions. And for each of these three opinions, there's two opinions that say, no, what you're talking about is proper bread. It should always be hamotzi. There's two opinions that say a calzone is always hamotzi. There are two opinions that say pretzels are always hamotzi. There are two opinions that say a kuchen cake is always hamotzi. Nevertheless, in each of these, we'll follow the single opinion, and we'll say that it's generally speaking mezonot, unless you use it for kviat seuda. So we've got here these three opinions, and any of these things will fall into the category of pata barbekisnin. Now, Tal has asked, where does mezonot bread fall into this? And this is a point of discussion amongst the Achronim. It's obvious that out of these three categories, mezonot bread would fall into the middle category, the Rambam's definition, because the Rambam said, what's pata barbekisnin? It's isites of dough, she'irif ba dvash or shemin or chalav or minei tavlin. That you've mixed shem oil or honey or milk or minei tavlin. In terms of you've sweetened it somewhat. You've sweetened it, and then it becomes mezonot rather than hamotzi. That's what we would be talking about here. Now, what's mezonot bread? Mezonot bread is made with fruit juice as either replacing the water or replacing part of the water. But it's certainly going to be a sweeter dough. Now, in the Shulchan Aruch itself, we've got this machloket between the Mechaber and the Rama. the Shulchan Aruch and Rav Moshe Isserles, as to what constitutes borei min amos or not. According to the Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't need to be terribly sweet. You need to be able to tell that it's sweeter. You can tell that this isn't regular bread. There's something sweet in it. You don't need to be able to say, oh, yeah, this is apple juice. I can tell this is apple juice they've used. But it needs to be that it's sheyetam tarovet ha-mei peirot or ha-tavlin nikar baisa. You need to be recognized that this is different. The Rama says no. If it just tastes sweeter, even though you can tell there's apple juice in it, it's got a slight appley taste to it, nevertheless, it's going to be hamotzi. It needs to be really very, very sweet. So this is the first point of contention that we've got. Some people, generally speaking, the bakeries, if they want to be able to define bread as being patar barbekisen, as being mazonot bread, needs to be made with at least 50% fruit juice. Instead of at least 50% of the liquid needs to be fruit juice or oil. You can only have 50% of the liquid being water. Sometimes it's entirely fruit juice. If you buy egg matzahs, for example, that's egg matzahs don't have any water in them. It's entirely fruit juice and eggs. But the big question is, let's say it's 50% fruit juice. So it's definitely quite a lot sweeter. Is it going to be, what's its status going to be? Is it going to be, will it fit into what the Rambam's saying? Or is it fitting into what the Rama is saying? So some people want to say that, if it's 50%, if it's 50% fruit juice, then, you know, the main liquid ingredient is not water, therefore it must be mazonot. Whereas others say, no, listen, see how it tastes. You know, if it tastes primarily like, essentially it tastes like regular bread, so it's going to be regular bread. That's the point. And that's a point of machloket. So for starters, there'll be some people who say that, you buy the mazonot bread, you buy a mazonot pitta, you know, from Taboon, or you buy mazonot bread from, Grudzinski's or any of the bakeries, Sharon's, you buy it. Does it taste like bread or does it taste like cake? It tastes like bread. So even though, yeah, it's sweeter, but it would be a hamotzi. So for many people, they're not going to accept, even in the first instance, that it was mazonot. Others will say, no, it's much sweeter. I was having a discussion with a colleague at school about what constitutes mazonot bread. And I said, basically, the question is, would you regard it as being cake or bread? I think that's really what it boils down to. So there was some event at school, and there was sandwiches for the staff, and we were told they were mazonot bread. So I said to the colleague, come over here, and we'll ask Marina. Marina is one of our non-Jewish colleagues. So Marina doesn't know anything about mazonot bread. You need to start off with a blank piece of paper. I said, let's ask Marina, does she think this is cake or bread? So she looked at me and said, well, it's bread. I said, no, taste it. Would you define this as bread or cake? So she tasted it, and she hummed and hawed, and she said, well, it's definitely sweeter, but I think I'd still call it a bread. Now, for me, that was a very helpful experiment. Random sample of one, admittedly. But it was a very helpful experiment because somebody with no preconceived notions about whether she wanted to say hamotze, omaz or not, wash, not wash, full benching, not a full benching, she didn't have any of those hang-ups obstructing her objectivity. And she said, yeah, it's a bread. On the other hand, it's interesting. If you hunt around on the BBC website, you'll find there was an article on the 1st of October, so just a couple of weeks ago. I can try and put this into the comments so you can find it. Subway rolls ruled too sugary to be bread in Ireland. Article reads as follows. The rolls used in Subway's hot sandwiches contain too much sugar to be considered bread, according to Ireland's Supreme Court. Now, why does Subway sandwiches, why does anybody care about whether they're mazonot or hamotzi? That's obviously they don't care at all. Ireland's highest court made this ruling a case about how the bread is taxed. An Irish franchisee of the US company claimed it should not pay VAT on the rolls it uses in heated sandwiches. But the court ruled because of the level of sugar in the rolls, they cannot be taxed as bread, which is classified as a staple product with zero VAT. Under Ireland's VAT Act of 1972, ingredients in bread such as sugar and fat should not exceed 2% of the weight of the flour in the dough. The long and the short of it is, we're interested in whether it's bread or cake for bracha purposes, but for taxation purposes, there's also an interest. That, of course, the definitions will be a little bit different, but I think it's noteworthy that those rolls were regarded as being mazonot. This is cake, not bread. If it's cake, it's mazonot, unless you are koveya suda on it. If it's bread, then obviously it's always have to go be a hamotzi. So Tal has just asked us another question. Just trying to see the question here. What's Tal asked us? So under the opinion where pretzels are hamotzi, does it have implications for certain breakfast cereals, e.g. Weetabix, Shreddies, etc.? Okay, we'll touch on that. The answer is possibly. Except remember, of course, nobody says in practice that pretzels will be hamotzi, because the Shulchan Aruch has said that we've accepted the leniency of all three opinions. So nobody would say a hamotzi over pretzels. The only question would be if you ate lots of breadsticks or lots of pretzels, you ate a whole kilo of pretzels, would it become a hamotzi? But nobody would say a hamotzi over one pretzel. A person might say hamotzi over one slice of mazonot bread. That will depend on whether you hold it is mazonot bread or whether you hold that it's real bread, which is just a bit sweeter. So that's a point of machloket. As I say, some poskim are of the opinion that it needs to taste really like cake rather than like a bread. That when you pick it up and eat it, you feel that you're eating a cake rather than a piece of bread. Would you use this for an 11 o'clock snack with your cup of tea? Or would you use it for a tuna sandwich? That might be the test case. If you would use it as a tuna sandwich, you think it's bread. If you're using it for the 11 o'clock piece of cake, then you would regard it as a piece of cake. Others are more objective, and they say no. If it's at least 50% fruit juice, so then you can say mazonot on it. I've got my own views on the matter, but I understand the opposite side of the coin as well. I wouldn't seek to impose my views on anybody. I personally think that if it tastes like bread, it's bread, and the mazonot bread that you buy, I think, is a hamotzi. But I understand that it's certainly a cogent halachic position to say, no, it's mazonot. It comes with a KLBD sticker on it saying that it's mazonot bread. It's, you know, it's clearly mazonot. And that is a widespread opinion as well, and very, very legitimate. Let's move on now to the case. Assuming that this bread is mazonot, my tabun pitta is a mazonot, right? And I want to eat now, I want to put some falafel in it and eat it without having to wash and bench. So, what's regarded as kviat su'uda? What's regarded as me using it as the mainstay of my meal? So let's look at the Shulchan Aruch Sif Vav. Shulchan Aruch says as follows. This patar bar b'kisnin, which for our purposes we'll call mezonot bread, because we've established that according to many poskim that mezonot bread is patar bar b'kisnin, mevarech alav borei minei mezonot. You say a bracha borei minei mezonot, ulacharaf bracha achat mein shalosh. And afterwards you say an al hamichya. Ve'im achal mimenu shiur. However, if you ate a quantity of it, sha'acherim regilim likboa alav, that people would generally have as the mainstay of a meal, afal pi shehu lo sava mimenu, even though you weren't particularly full with it, mevarech alav hamotzi u'birkat hamazon. Then it becomes hamotzi and birkat hamazon. So this is a very interesting phenomenon. I should have perhaps mentioned this earlier. Generally speaking, we tend to think that foodstuffs have fixed brachot. You know, an apple is a borei pri ha'etz. It's always a borei pri ha'etz because it's an apple. A noodle is borei minei mezonot. It's always borei minei mezonot because it's a noodle. An egg is shakol ni'eh b'dvaro. It's always shakol ni'eh b'dvaro because it's always an egg. What we have, then you can say, okay, well, sometimes it'll change. That'll change if you change the form of it. If I take my apple and I cook it and puree it, I squeeze it into apple juice. So now it's apple juice, so I'll say a charcoal over it. But here with patar bar b'kisnin, we can have a piece of patar bar b'kisnin. I can share it with the person next to me. I take one piece, you take the next piece. One of us will be saying a hamotzi over it. One of us will be saying a borei minei mezonot over it. It depends on how it's being used that its bracha will change. So here we're saying, you eat of it the quantity that people normally would use for kviat suda, which of course we haven't established yet what that is. So then you say hamotzi over it. And then he goes on to say, ve'im achal shir shacherim ein kovim alav, if you eat a smaller quantity, people don't usually eat that much of it, afal pi shoker ve'alav, even though you're using that as your meal, the mainstay of your meal, you say mezonot and an alhamichya. We look at it objectively. How do people in general eat it, rather than how you're eating it? So what we're saying is that again, it hasn't really told us yet what this shiur kviat suda is. But it needs to be what people would generally eat as the mainstay of a meal. That is hamotzi. And if you eat less than that, even if it's filled you up, it's not hamotzi. And if you ate that quantity, even if it didn't fill you up, it is hamotzi. So look at the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah makes 3 points. The Mishnah Berurah says, Katu ha'acharonim. So the various poskim has said as follows. De'imach lo levado, let's say you're eating it by yourself. You're just eating some mezonot rolls or some mezonot pita. Dimach lo levado, tzairich sheyochal shiur, sheacherim regilim lispar mimenu levado. You need to eat enough that people would be full up with that much by itself. So I'm just, I've got a bag of taboon mezonot pitas with me, and I've gone out for a teal, a pitta ramble, I suppose. I've gone out for a pitta ramble, and I thought I'd brought some hard-boiled eggs to go inside. I realised all I've got is my pittas. So if I eat just one pitta, I'm not going to have to say hamotzi over it. I think if I ate two pittot, I wouldn't have to say hamotzi over it. If I ate a whole bag of pitta, that's probably a meal. That would probably, most people would, I think, people would regard themselves as full with that, and I'd have to wash and bench over it. But one, I certainly wouldn't. Two, I don't think so either. Five or six, definitely yes. So three or four, you know, a bit of a grey area. So that's if I'm eating it by itself. But people don't usually eat it by itself. Usually you want to have your mezonot bread with either you're using it as a sandwich, or you've got mezonot rolls and you've got hot dogs in them, or burgers in them, or you've got mezonot pita and you've got all sorts of fillings in them. What if you eat it together with other things, alongside other things? Sagi kishochel shir shachirim regil in ispoa mimenu, kishochlin gam kainim devarim achirim. Now, this is a bit ill defined, but what he's saying is that you have to eat as much of it as people usually are full up if they eat it together with those other things. Meaning that if I have hot dogs in it. So if I eat one mezonot roll with one hot dog in it, that wouldn't usually fill anybody up, and it would still be a mezonot. If I eat two mezonot rolls with two hot dogs in them, still I don't think people would regard that as a meal that's filled them up. If I eat four mezonot rolls with a hot dog in each of them, and maybe some chips and coleslaw on the side. So then that's the quantity that most people would feel full from, and therefore you would say a hamotzi over it. Third case, imach alol avado v'sava mimenu, if you ate it by yourself and it's filled you up, afsha achirim lo hayusfei mimenu levado, you eat a quantity that other people wouldn't feel filled up with it by itself. If they ate it together with the other things that normally go with it, they would be full. Then you would have to say hamotzi and birkat hamazon. So what if I'm not that hungry? I eat three mezonot rolls. Three mezonot rolls. Or so I eat two mezonot rolls. Two mezonot rolls doesn't usually fill a person up. But if a person has two mezonot rolls and the hot dogs and the chips and the coleslaw, they would be full. Then if I ate two mezonot rolls by themselves and I was full, then I'd also have to say hamotzi. If I wasn't full, then I wouldn't have to say hamotzi. So there are a lot of details there. But the important thing is to see that certainly if you're eating it in a way that people would generally feel full after eating it like this, then you're going to have it as hamotzi. So working on the assumption, again, that mezonot bread is mezonot bread, there are some people who think that it isn't, but it's a very normative halachic position to say that mezonot bread is mezonot bread. And you eat one sandwich, you go to a... often you go to an engagement party or something like that, and they have, I think the platters come from Daniel's, and you get these platters, quarter of a pita with, it's got a slice of aubergine and a hard boiled egg in, and a bit of lettuce, whatever, something like that. They're quite nice. And it's mezonot bread, the pita is mezonot pita, and you're just eating one or two of them. So that would definitely be borei mine mezonot. You're not filling yourself up with it. It's not, you're not eating the quantity that anybody else would be full with it. You're just having two of those. It's going to be a borei mine mezonot. If you turn round to somebody, you've gone there with your husband or your wife, and you just thought it's just going to be a few pretzels and an orange juice. And you get there, there's all these sandwiches and everything. There aren't so many people there. So you give her a nudge. And you say, hey, listen, this will do for lunch. So eat enough that we won't need lunch when we get home. So you're eating it as a meal. You don't just have two of those little quarters. You have eight of those little quarters. And you've had a full meal there. You would need to wash and bench because you've used it as bread. it's fulfilled the function of bread, and you've eaten as much that, yeah, people would be full of that, full after eating that. Two whole pitot with stuffings inside and a few bits of other things that you had, a few hot hors d'oeuvres as well. That's, you've eaten it as a meal, and that's going to be important. Nicole has asked the important question. What if you started off thinking you were just going to have one, and then you got carried away, and by the time you finish, you realise, goodness, I polished off the whole platter. So then the Shulchan Aruch says, yeah, you would have to say hamotzi, as well as you would have to say full birkat hamazon. And if you realise halfway through that, you know, this is rather nice, you know what, I'm going to polish off the platter, then also you would need to now wash and make a bracha of hamotzi. So we do know, however, that lots of people are very lenient. It's worth flagging up what the Aruch HaShulchan says. If we go on to the second page, we'll see that the Aruch HaShulchan says as follows. We won't go through the whole passage in the Aruch HaShulchan, but it's again, it's instructive from a number of perspectives. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, "Vada, you should know, shekama gedolim tzaku kichruchia. Some of the gedolim, some of the poskim, cried out terribly loud about this. Amashin pashet b'doreinu, about what goes on in our time." So this is the Aruch HaShulchan writing over 100 years ago in Russia. So it's not necessarily a modern phenomena. B'chol ha-medina, everywhere. Sheba'et eze simcha, you've got a simcha. Orchin shulchan in kama minei dagim, kama minei basar. You've got a smorgasbord. There's meat and fish. V'ochlim min pataba b'kisnin. And they eat it with some sort of mezonot bread, pataba b'kisnin. V'ochlim b'lo netila yadayim v'lo ha-motzi b'rikat ha-mazon. They just say ela b'rikat mezonot. They just say mezonot over it. And at the end they say an alamichya. For ochlim harbe mo'od mea gluskaot. Umea chala fuyal shemen shikurim boimul chala. And they eat loads of these mazonot rolls and things. For ancient safek bazer, the Aruch HaShulchan says, I'm absolutely certain, it's richim litol yudehem v'hamotzi, they need to do nitilat yadayim and say hamotzi, v'afilim yizaru shelol achal habem me'apat, and even if they don't eat a lot of the bread, mikom akom haladat ha'gdolim shevzif ha'kodem, we said according to a number of gedolim, im savu me'aliftan chayavim litol yudehem, even if you didn't eat so much bread, but you ate it as an accompaniment to, you had sandwiches, or you put schnitzels inside it, or whatever, you're going to have to wash and bench. You know, even if you don't eat a lot of it, certainly you eat 8 kazaitim worth, 4 eggs volumes worth, which according to some poskim is shiuk viatsuta. Rak ma'at mehayureim nisharim biyosram al shulchan kazeh livli leechol harbe. There are only a few God-fearing people who are careful in such situations, either not to eat a lot, or shenotlim yudehem uvarchim hamotzi al patstam, or they do nitilat yadayim and say hamotzi on regular bread. Avar rov hamon Yisrael ain shomrim atzmam mizeh. Most Jews, they don't worry about this. Al kein bevadai chalila lasot kach. Chas v'sholom, you should do this. The Aruch HaShulchan has a bit of a reputation as being lenient, but in this case, he's certainly not being lenient, and the Aruch HaShulchan is saying, no, there's no grounds for this at all. Ach ein bi'adin imchot ki'adur. But as you know, it's just, no, we can't do anything about it. He says, I give him countless shiurim on the subject. Nobody listens to me. They all say I'm a right-wing bigot about it. So don't listen to the rabbi on this one. That's, you know, this is the Aruch HaShulchan speaking. So if you go to the end of the paragraph, he tries to justify it a bit, but he's not very happy about it, and he says, how does he finish off? V'chol yirei Elokim yichaket atzmo mizeh. Any God-fearing person will be, try and keep away from such scenarios. V'hu rachum yechaper avon. and the merciful one should atone for sins. The Aruch HaShulchan doesn't usually use such language, but he's being really very emphatic here. V'hu rachum yichaper avon. He's saying, you know, there's really no grounds whatsoever for such leniencies. So that's the Aruch HaShulchan. So we've seen so far quite a stringent approach to these matters. However, I do want to conclude by looking at what Rav Osher Weiss says in Minchat Asher, because he has a slightly different take on it, and it's certainly important for us to look at these comments. So this is in Chelek Bet and Simon Kaf Bet, and he discusses these Mazonot rolls, and he says there are a lot of people who think they're going to be Hamotzi, and he doesn't agree. He says, if you look in the third paragraph, he says, "Ulaniut dati." It seems to me, we won't go through all of it, but we'll just pick up on a few key points. Lachmat ta'ut biadam. I think they're mistaken to say that it's hamotzi. Lachmaniot ele dinan patabah bekisnin choldabah. These rolls, mazonot rolls, are definitely patabah bekisnin. Don't take any notice of what Rabbi Roslar said in his shir tonight, that he thinks that it's hamotzi. It's not. Unless you eat a quantity that would count as kviat suda. So if you have, you know, beans on toast, you know, with four slices of mazonot bread and beans and mushrooms and sausages and whatever and all that stuff, so then, yeah, of course it's going to be a hamotzi. But otherwise, it's not. What is something which is hamotzi? It can only be hamotzi if it's something that would usually be used for a meal. V'lachmani, and he says further on, like, for example, you could eat rogelach, you know, you could eat 2 kilos of rogelach, and you'd never have to say hamotzi on them. Because even though they would seem to fit into the Rambam's definition of pataba bekisnin, because they're kneaded with dough, but it's got cocoa and eggs and oil, etc. in them, that's, you would never use them. They're never used in place of bread. And pataba bekisnin, he says, at the end of the day, has to be something which is used as, or which is sometimes used as bread, which is used as bread. And he says, lachmaniot eile, these sorts of mazonot rolls, ein regidin kalik bo alehem suda. You never use them as bread. Vein ochlim otam ela b'makom she'ein rotzim likbo suda. You only use them when you dafka don't want to be having a regular meal. V'ragim mishtamshim lachshov t'chol she'ochlim ketachlif l'suda sudahu. V'ta'otizu. He thinks, there's lots of people think, well, if you use it in place of bread, then you're using it as bread, and that's a mistake. T'ma she'ochlim kasherim rotzim likbar suda, hepech gamo misuda kvuahu. If you're using it because you don't want this to be a suda, you want this to be a snack, then by definition, it's a snack, not a suda. And he goes on to say, he says, you know, nobody would use mazonot rolls instead of regular rolls, you know, if it was a regular meal. They'd always use regular bread. You're only using it in mazonot rolls because, okay, it's a snack, so I'll use mazonot rolls. But if it was a regular meal, of course, I'd serve proper bread. So, to be honest, I'm not 100% convinced by that argument. I'm not 100% convinced by it because, number one, I think the reason probably why people usually, you know, you go to a simcha, right? So it's usually going to be hamotzi rolls. Why won't it be mazonot rolls? Because mazonot rolls are more expensive. So, of course, it's going to be hamotzi rolls. But in actual fact, we eat a fair amount of pitta in our house. We always buy the mazonot pitta, not because we want to say mazonot over it, but because we prefer the taste of it. It doesn't taste like a cake. It's, you know, perfectly good pitta to use for perfectly good pitta to use for you know, for a meal. So I'm not 100% convinced by his argument that you would, that mezonot bread, by definition, you wouldn't use as hamotzi because it's mezonot bread. I think sometimes you would. I think it tastes so similar to bread that you can regard it as you can regard it as regular bread. And the only reason you don't use it all the time is because it's a bit more expensive. But, you know, I'll certainly, you know, I've been into the bakery to buy a loaf of bread. Sometimes it's, you know, at the end of the, oh, we've only got mezonot bread left. Yeah, fine. That's fine for the sandwiches. It's as good as regular bread. It's 10 pence more expensive. Fine, they'll knock off the 10 pence because it's the end of the day and it's all they've got left. So that's Rav Osher Weiss's view, is that mezonot bread is definitely mezonot bread. It's still going to be hamotzi if you're eating it as if you're eating it as regular bread. So if you're having it, you know, you're having, you know, a full lunch with sandwiches, you know, but you've just used mezonot bread instead of regular bread, so then it would be then it would be a hamotzi. What he seems to be suggesting, and this links in with what somebody has just asked me, what if you're in a situation where, you know, it's not easy to do netilat yadayim. You're in town, you've just picked up a DD sandwich. You're at the airport, you've just picked up a DD sandwich. So I think in that case, you remember, you've only picked up one sandwich. Yeah, so it's two pieces of bread. All right, with a filling. So let's think it through. Number one, so put to one side the view that says that it's that mezonot bread is always hamotzi. So if you hold that it's mezonot bread, so, you know, one packet of sandwiches isn't a full meal. It's a snack, and, you know, particularly with bearing in mind what Rav Osher Weiss says, it's a snack and you're eating it as a snack. This is the way that you're eating. You're not eating it as a proper meal. And therefore, you're demonstrating that you don't want to be koveya suda. This is a snack you're eating, you know, while you're hanging around in the airport. But, yeah, you have to have your proper meal on the plane or whatever it is. Which, of course, leads to the question about the mezonot rolls on the airplane. It's interesting, about 25 years ago, the OU in America changed their policy. They used to have the rolls were mezonot rolls, and it said on the packaging they're mezonot rolls. Then they changed their policy because it's you're koveya suda on it. You're eating it as a meal. Rav Osher Weiss would probably say that it's not a problem. You're not really eating it as a meal. You're eating it as an airplane meal. An airplane meal is different. An airplane meal isn't a regular meal. That's a sort of kind of snack in non-optimal conditions, unless you're in business class. They decided it's hamotzi, and so now all their packaging says, you know, the rolls, one should say, hamotzi. I think it says the rolls are mezonot, but you need to say hamotzi if you're eating it as part of the meal. So there was an uproar. People didn't want to say hamotzi on them, and they had loads of letters of complaint, including somebody claiming that it was pikuach nefesh that they said that it was borei minei mezonot, because if everybody on the plane went to the back to wash, then the plane would fall out of the air. So that's an interesting notion there. I'll just conclude with one final thought. So to sum up, you know, there are certainly very good grounds to say that mezonot bread is mezonot bread. As I say, you have one round of sandwiches, or you know, you're at a simcha, you have a couple of bridge rolls, or you have you know, a couple of those quarters of pitta with a filling in it. Very good grounds to say that's borei minei mezonot, and then on a michya at the end, you don't need to wash. Much more serious when you get into kviat suda, and sometimes there's a grey area, and I'll just flag up the question with: is it really so terrible to wash and make hamotzi and say birkat hamazon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I understand that in certain circumstances it's not going to be easy. I understand that, you know, you're at a business meeting and, you know, they've got in DD sandwiches for you and everybody's sitting around, you know, and you've got the kosher DD sandwiches. You want to say mazonot over the sandwiches and be done with. Yeah, that I understand, you know, totally. But if you're eating what's basically a full meal, but, you know, you're having a barbecue and, you know, oh, you know, we'll have mazonot rolls so nobody needs to wash. Is it such a terrible thing that a person should wash? I remember I had a friend in yeshiva. I can say it over, I think, in his name, Rabbi Sylvester, Rabbi Gideon Sylvester. And yeshiva lunch was always a very nice meal. And very few people used to wash. Yes, mazonot or shakol, whatever the bracha is, borei priyat hama. Most people didn't wash. He was always makpid to wash. He used to say it's churlish in the extreme to eat a meal like this and to begrudge HaKadosh Baruch Hu three brachot from the Torah. You know, it's one thing is if you're eating it as a snack, you're on the run. It's borei minim zonot and ala michya. If you're really eating it as a meal, you know, you're having friends round for a barbecue, you know, a big barbecue, everybody's, you know, full up at the end, you know, need to spend the afternoon, you know, relaxing in a chair, you know. And we had mazonot bread, so we didn't have to wash and bench to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not the worst thing in the world to wash and bench to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, though I do understand and I do appreciate, of course, there are situations where mazonot is going to be, you know, a much more realistic solution for the situation that you find yourselves in. Okay, ad kan for tonight. That brings tonight's shiur to an end. Next week's topic is, yes, on tefillin and mezuzot and the new Northwest London